Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. Roster cut down week. You know what time it is. Good things for some, bad things for other. But it's a good thing that you guys are now rocking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. It is a great opportunity to go over some of the things that have gone on the past couple of days as the Titans start to shape up their 53-man roster. Obviously, it's an initial one. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs and all types of things happening throughout the season. We know that because this is a team that has rostered a lot of players over the last couple of years. But in the meantime, one guy that I've rostered is David James over there making it work.
Yes, sir.
We're going to get into the roster cuts, the acquisitions, surprises. We'll do that with Chris Sanders as well. And then I want to wrap it up and talk a little bit of depth at a couple positions here that we're seeing they're fully invested in. And that's some things that we'll get into. But first things first, you look at the wave released, a couple surprises here. I thought that Chance Campbell was going to make the roster. I really did. And you saw him working with some first team groups as far as at linebacker. He and Azeez Al-Shaair, he would rotate in sometimes. Now, this is when Monty Rice was down, but he would rotate in sometimes and Jack Gibbons would come out. But that was a surprise one. Just to run down the full list, you got Chance Campbell, Shyam Carter, Trevon Coley, Michael Duomfor, who they call Minnesota Mike, Eric Garrett. That was another surprise for me. I thought that he was going to make the roster. Scrappy DB, who doubled as a returner for them. And I think, you know, bringing him back onto the practice squad was a solid move. Same for Trayshawn Harrison, who was cut, Jaleel Johnson, Stephen Jones Jr., Tyreek Jones. Mason Kinsey is always an interesting name to bring up. He is on the practice squad once again, and he's someone that Mike Vrabel has always given credit to, right, for so many things that he could do. Wide receiver. They had him take snaps at quarterback in the preseason games, but he's worked at safety, done all types of things to give them looks in practice. So you have him. John Leglu, Armani Marsh. That was another one that Kevin Byard had mentioned him as a guy that surprised him and did well. T.K. McClendon Jr. T.K. McClendon had a solid camp. I thought that he would spill over to the practice squad, but that hasn't happened. Racy McMath, he is now on the Colts practice squad, and it just seemed like that experiment was one that they weren't going to continue to work with. And there was just always that hope that McMath would be able to fulfill that potential. I mean, you're that big, well-built, fast. It doesn't always equal production on the field. And unfortunately for his sake, that's what happened. Yeah, Jordan Murray, Ben Neiman, Thomas Odukoya. Odukoya was an interesting one also. He does spill over to the practice squad. He gives them that international player roster exemption. They have one more year of that with him. So you have him there and Kevin Rader as well. I think between those two, you're going to see those guys get bumped up and bumped down. I get that elevation because at times they're going to need to keep four tight ends, and I think that's definitely an option for them. John Ojukwu, I tell you, OJ, as Mike Vrabel called him, he's a guy that I think if he wasn't injured, he would make the roster because he was getting first-team reps at right guard. Mike Vrabel seemed to really attach himself to him, but that injury early in camp just hurt him. Sam Okoyinawu. Just call him Sam O. He's another one. They brought him back there. They're looking to bring him back. And I think, you know, he gives them that versatility, right? Outside linebacker, defensive end, very heavy-handed, strong. He fits what they want to do, but he did get released. Jock Patrick, he had a solid game against the Patriots in the final preseason game. But they moved on from him. He's bigger than I thought, man. 6'2", 230-plus pounds. Big back, but he didn't make it. Kyle Pecco is a guy they added to the practice squad. As I mentioned, Kevin Rader, Reggie Robertson Jr., that's one. Man, I thought, because there was a stretch, I think it was like the second week of camp, where he and Will Levis just caught fire. And he had like touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, deep catch, deep. He was really producing. But for whatever reason, it didn't transfer over to the games, and that was a tough thing for him because, you know, he was showing out in practice and we're reporting that, but then games, he's not getting the targets, and that was a bad thing for him. And as it turns out, he's probably not going to get on the practice squad either. So, yeah, it was real. It was fun. Was it really fun? I don't know, but Reggie Roberson, I don't think, is going to be in Nashville anymore. Next up, Jordan Roos. He was also released. Now, I think when you look at Jordan Roos, a lot of that was Dylan Radins being activated from PUP. I think otherwise he makes it. Andrew Rupchich is a guy that they, you know, had practice squad-wise. Big, big, big tackle. But it just – he'll probably end up on the practice squad again. I believe that. Thomas Rush is a practice squad outside linebacker. Tyler Shelvin as well, nose tackle. He was also released. So – that's what you're looking at. They acquired Nick Folk. And then you also have, when you look at the roster, okay, the 2025 seventh-round pick in exchange for Nick Folk is interesting. Now, there's good and there's bad on Nick Folk. He was 4 out of 5 from 50-plus, which is solid. I think you do have to go in and look at these kicks. Okay, I mean, a 50-yard kick is a 50-yard kick. But I do think you have to look at the context of it, what was on the line. I think a thing that you have to consider with Nick Folk is this. He kicks in the element an awful lot, right? So you're looking at a guy in the AFC East, you know, you kick for the Patriots, Buffalo, going against the Jets. You know, Miami is Miami. That's not really the elements there. But, you know, you're consistently kicking in bad elements. His numbers are interesting. I think when you look at the Titans and how much they've struggled kicking field goals, you know, you bring in a guy, so he's career-wise, since 2019, okay, and this is courtesy of Pro Football Reference, since 2019, and why do we use 2019? Well, I tell you, it's because that's the number, that's the year the Titans got on this kicker carousel, right? And that's when Ryan Succop was released, and they've struggled since then. So we're going to give you numbers on Nick Folk since then. 89.3% on field goals with a long of 54. He's 12 out of 17 from 50-plus. That's 70%. 36 out of 44. That's 81% from 40 to 49. And you know the Titans, they stress that an awful lot. So that's something. And then 58 out of 58 under 40. So, hey. Your makeable ones, he makes them. Now, as far as extra points are concerned, he's 91.3%. Now, this is the one, though. The touchback rate is 12.2%. And I know you guys, you listen to Jarrett Stillman, and he made a good point where, you know, he's not a guy that you're going to have kicking off too much. So what did the Titans do there? Did they carry Cade York and Nick Folk? That's a tough thing to do, knowing that you're carrying 7 receivers, 10 offensive linemen. That's tough. 3 quarterbacks. So I'm not sure what they do there, but I know that the Patriots last year, and this is to Jared's credit, he pointed this out, they had another person doing the kickoffs for him. So, yeah, it's good that you bring in a guy like that that could kick the field goals, but the kickoffs, you know, you want the touchbacks. That's another part of it. But just to look at numbers for the Titans since 2019, I mean, this is crazy, man. So you look at over that period of time, they have kicked an NFL worst 74 field goals since 2019. 102 field goal attempts are the fewest as well. 72% of the field goals were made. Only 2 teams were lower than 80%. Now, Folk, he turns 39 in November, and last season, he was 86%, so you have that. But I think it was smart for Rand Carthon and the crew to offset this and just have a safety net here in Cade York. Now, Cade York had his struggles. And this is a guy who was drafted in the 5th round. or fourth round, I think it was, out of LSU. And he had his struggles last year. He had his struggles in the preseason as well. And it's just crazy that this kind of thing happened because, I mean, look, like, this is a guy I remember saying, like, hey, man, you know, you might want to look into drafting him, you know. And he was 124th pick last year, right? And you look at what he did at LSU, man. He was money, you know, and especially like on deep kicks, you know, this dude was, you know, consistently making kicks. You know, he had a long of 56 his junior year, sophomore year 57. So this dude was legit. You know what I mean? But whatever happened last year, and the Browns, they acquired Dustin Hopkins. He became available, and the Titans went and grabbed him. Now, I think when you look at a guy like this, if you're able to get him back on track from a mental aspect, you have something. So that's one to watch, man. That's one to watch. And, I mean, he was a consistent All-American, and it just fell out last year. And this preseason, the Eagles game, that was the one where he was – man, he was just missing kick after kick. And I know. Jake Trotter had the story. My ESPN Info Nation colleague, he had the story about Kay York and how he was supposedly missing. He was kicking field goals, and he didn't make one for like 30 minutes straight. So it's clearly a mental thing, though. So I think, you know, when you look at that, stock and store, you know what I mean? And that's what they're going to do. And once he gets right, man, he's legit. The talent's there. So hopefully for his sake, you know, he could get around to that and have everything back together. Now, we touched on some of the practice squad guys. And obviously, you know, the practice squad is fluent. It's something that they're continuing to work through. But I tell you, you look at some of the names on there. I mean, a lot of it is just guys coming back, right? Thomas Odokoya, Mason Kinsey, Eric Guerra, Trayshawn Harrison, Thomas Rush, John Ajukwu, Armani Marsh, Kevin Rader, Kyle Pecco, and Sam Okudie. And now Sam O. We're going to just do that. And then obviously Cade York as well. So they have some more options as far as who to add to that. Remember, Odokoya is an exemption. He doesn't count towards the 16. So they have a good six or so spots that they could make some more moves with. We'll see how that continues to work. But I will say this, Caleb Murphy has made the roster. And that's one that I really felt was going to be a solid addition for them. I felt that he was the undrafted free agent that would make it. But lo and behold, there's five undrafted free agents that made it. And as a matter of fact, you know what? I want to go to – we got to talk to Caleb Murphy after the Patriots game, and let me get what he had to say.
So since I was a little – like since I was young, maybe 18, 19, I've wanted to move to Tennessee when everything was over with. It's always been a plan to play in the NFL.
No, you're good.
My bad. It's always been a plan to play in the NFL, but, like, you know, when all that was over and said and done with, I wanted to come to Nashville anyway. So it was just like a – like, you know, opportunity that was there that I could, you know, hopefully make happen for a long time, you know, so just trying to do that.
How's the experience been, you know, watch the things you do over there with Coach Lo Locus and with Ryan Crow? How's that experience been?
Yeah, I try to take everything in, you know, every coaching point I can take, you know, I try to take it in because, you know, I'm no better than the next man next to me, you know, so I just try to, you know, take everything in. They're just trying to help me, so, you know, I'm trying to, you know, do what's best.
Do you feel like there's a lot of, I mean, 25 sacks, you clearly know how to get to the quarterback, but, I mean, do you feel like there's a lot of untapped potential for you?
Always. I think that's for anybody, you know. You push yourself as far as you want to be pushed, you know, and I'm nowhere near done with that. So, yeah.
So that was Caleb Murphy on the potential and just being able to work with the coaches. You know, it's a good situation. I remember watching them just extensively work with him early in OTAs, and it was Coach Lloyd Locus and Ryan Crow, the outside linebackers coach and his assistant. And it was pretty interesting because they were working on how to time his moves up and not doing his moves too close to the lineman. And it was just repetitious over and over and over again. until he got it right. And this was during a special teams period. And then once he got it right, you know, you started to see him walk with a different confidence and things like that. He said that he initially was a deer in headlights, but, you know, now that he's taken to the coaching and he's there and he's at that moment. So that's a good thing for him. Listen, man, we're talking about 5 undrafted free agents that this team added, all 6 of their draft picks. 11 out of their 53 men on the roster are new players, are rookie players. So it's a little bit of a youth movement. And I think, it's a credit to the scouting staff and to Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker and Anthony Robinson and those guys to be able to, you know, bring in a group like that could right off the bat be added to the roster. We're going to get into this a little bit more after the break, get Run TMC going, and I want to get Chris Sanders, his thoughts on some of these moves.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run TMC.
Lights dim. Music fades. To you live from Madison Square Garden for your New York Knicks with no Patrick Ewing playing starting at center number 32 Herb Williams
and now starring for the Denver Broncos and outside linebacker, Tom Jackson. Hey, it looked like he talked about a pack of black and miles away a day.
Yeah, it did, man. I saw him in person, too. He looked just the same.
He needed some chapstick, man.
Yeah, it's yeah.
What's going on, big dog? I know, man, cuts have happened and, you know, a lot of tears, man. But what's going on with you, big dog?
Oh, nothing much. Just scrolling through, keeping up to date and texting and all of that good stuff to try to get some of this news rolling. And it's a busy season right now. A good season for some, a bad season for others. So I guess we'll get right into the Titans cuts and what's happened. What's the biggest surprise for you? Hearing the rosters as they start to get finalized.
You know, it's wild. I mean, you got some players that were good. They got cut loose. And one of the names that really sticks out with me is linebacker Chance Campbell. Mm-hmm. And I thought he had a great camp. And the thing that's just kind of wild is Monty Rice wasn't really there. He was hurt a lot, and he really wasn't in practice. And it just kind of surprised me that Chance Campbell, you know, didn't make the roster when he did some things that did as well.
Yeah, I thought he would make the roster. He's a guy I know. He fit that RAS, you know, the relative athletic score that this group of Titans evaluators seemed to like. So I thought he would be there. He was even at times working with the first team. So it definitely was a surprise. And like you said, Monty Rice, he got right just in time because he wasn't on the field up through the Patriots game. Yeah. But after that game, you know, he came back and he reappeared. So that's good for him. He said it's interesting. His answer, right, you know, because he was asked about what he's been going through, and he's just, man, just dealing with life. So I don't know what his situation is. I asked Mike Vrabel about him, and he was like, well, eventually he'll be back, and here we are a week later, he's on the field.
But see, here's the problem, and I'm not putting anybody down or, you know, because the thing about it is we skate past that. We skate past this as of, okay, this guy's dealing with life, but we don't really dig into helping him in his life. And I think that, you know, if you're good off the field, you're going to be good on the field. So I think that if it was me personally, you know, I'm going to dig and say, okay, man, what is going on in your mind? What is going on with this situation? Because if you look about 4 or 5 years ago, nobody knew what A.J. Brown was going through. Nobody knew the struggles that he was dealing with off the field, and then he got some help so he can be good on the field. So I just think that sometimes we skim past that. I know it's football. I know it's a business. But sometimes you got to dig into a person's life and say, man, what can I do to serve and help you?
Yeah, no, without a doubt. That's important, right, to see exactly what is going on, because – these are people, and they're not just football players, right? They're people that have things that they have to work through off the field. So whatever it is that Rice is going through, hopefully it won't be an impediment upon him being able to produce on the field and do what he needs to do to progress his career. When you look at the other cuts, or even just any surprises as far as who made it, you were shocked that they're on the roster?
I mean, I wasn't surprised because they're all good players. I mean, you know, Kyaris Jackson, I mean, he played ways of attorney. He caught a touchdown in preseason, so he's been playing well. And but the one thing I was surprised that did make it, we talked a little bit about this off the air, it's Kyle Pico. How you pronounce it? Pico?
Oh, yeah, Kyle Pico.
Pico. Yeah. I mean, he played well. He played physically. He was consistently in the backfield. And then you had Reggie Rovers, who I thought that, you know, did enough to really stay on the roster. I know we talked a little bit about Mason Kennedy. You know, yeah, he's just a solid guy, but he's not going to do anything to help you. And then the defensive back, Eric Guerrero. I'm so bad.
Yeah, Guerrero. Yeah.
Guerrero. I thought he played well. And maybe it's because of numbers. I don't know. But just looking at him, I thought he played well in the preseason games.
Yeah, they signed a guy off of the Bears waivers in Kendall Vildor, who will be one of the outside corners. Now, Eric Guerrero, I thought that he earned a spot on the roster. I had him on my final 53. He also helped as a punt returner, but for whatever reason, that didn't work out. But they did bring him onto the practice squad. And I think the special teams aspect that Anthony Kendall brought, I think that boosted his value. So now you got Anthony Kendall, you got Matthew Jackson, another DB who was a gunner on punt team. Those two guys, they have to like buckle up and really hope that Vildor doesn't bump them off the roster, but it looks like that's not going to be the case. So I don't know who's going to get bumped off the roster for Vildor to be added. That was the only addition. Yeah. Now, one of the other guys you mentioned was Reggie Roberson, and mm-hmm. Roberson, for him, the big thing was transferring what he did in practice to games. And that just, unfortunately, it didn't happen. I don't even know that he had a catch
do you think it was opportunities, or he was making bust, or, you know, what was preventing him from, you know, actually making the team? Because I was watching him in practice. He was making the plays. He wasn't making a lot of busts. You know, he was consistent every day in practice. And you know more than me, but just watching the film, did he get a lot of opportunities to really show what he could do in the game, or is just like, okay, you know, we threw the ball to him and he could make the play?
He wasn't getting targets.
Targets. Isn't that hard to evaluate though? If he's not really getting any targets to say, well, okay, you know, how can he do in the game?
I'm curious why he was getting the targets in practice but not in the game. You know what I mean? That's the thing. So you look at the Vikings game, he played 25 snaps. This was the second most, only to Treshawn Harrison. Mm-hmm. Let me look at the following week. I know the final one, it was – I kind of knew Colton Dowell was making the roster.
Because
the way that they – so in the final practices, they had him working with the first team. The way they were pushing him as far as, like, he was the first receiver to come off – to come onto the field when they went to 11 personnel. Mm-hmm. So you kind of knew that he was making it. But then you look at Roberson. So in the final one, I think that was – I want to say he played like 7 snaps or so. Let me see.
Yeah, that's a tail right there.
Yeah. Yeah, and Dowell played 37. He played 14 snaps, 4 on special teams. Dowell didn't even have to play any on special teams. That's a surprise there. Racy McMath played 7. Mason Kinsey played 12. And Gavin Holmes, who they released soon after, played 11. So,
do you think that can have to do with also the quarterback? Because if you look at in practice, wasn't he working a lot with Tannehill? Reggie Roberson, yeah.
No, he was working mostly with Willis. And Willis hit him a couple times, Malik Willis. And so did most of it came with Levis. Like his early, when he went on that early streak of practices, that was with Levis. So, yeah, he played 26 snaps in the Bears game.
Right.
So that's interesting. 26 and then 23 and then 14.
That's kind of what I was saying.
Yeah. And so, I mean, a lot of that has to do with, you know, where they position you.
Yeah.
And so that final, like Minnesota, I'm trying to remember, he had Malik Willis hit him on one. He had a so-so week in Minnesota.
Okay.
Colton Dow, until he tweaked it, he had a pretty decent week. So, I mean, it's just unfortunate. From what I understand, he's not going to be added to the practice squad either. So, we'll see where he ends up going.
Yeah, and then the odd man out, too, is we didn't talk about this, Racy McMath. You know, I mean, he really didn't – it just seemed to me he really didn't do anything that much in camp. You know, I think he caught a couple of deep routes, but – you know, if you don't consistently show him film, and you know, I would go to the quarterback and say, "Man, throw me the ball, man, do me something." I mean, I got to make something happen, and I just think that he didn't have enough on film for them to keep him. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, he made an occasional play. Yeah, I remember the indoor practice was that when we had that heat wave. Will Levis hit him in the corner of the end zone on a nice route in team period where he was rolling out, but there was one. Was it Willis? I think it was Willis that was rolling out to his right, and McMath was rolling with him, and he threw it, and McMath just kind of put a hand out to catch it. But it's one of those ones where, like, if you got a roster spot on the line, you probably want to die for it. And I remember Rob Moore just matter-of-factly just saying, "You got to make a play. You got to make the play." You know, and hearing him and the tone that he had, I was like, I wonder if that potential thing is starting to not be good for him anymore, because that was carrying him along.
Yeah, because if you look at what potential is, all it is hidden ability. You have the ability, but it's hidden so nobody can see. And I mean, he's a big target. He's fast. He can run. I mean, he catches the ball, you know, pretty well. But I just think that you got to make sure you consistently show up on film. And if you don't show up on film, it doesn't matter if you have all this ability if it's not shown.
Yeah, and that's the main thing. You have to show.
Yeah,
what you could do defensively. Any surprise addition or guy that they kept?
No, I mean, we just talk about the DB Eric Guerrero. I pronounced the name again wrong, but I just think that's the one that is surprising. I mean, I don't know if he's gonna make the practice squad or whatever.
Yeah, he's on there. They signed.
Well, he's on there, so he's good though. But other than that, I mean, you look at the names. I mean, not too much. I mean, you have Steven Jones. We don't really know too much about him. We got Tarquez Jones. I mean, other than that, I mean, you just really don't really names that really stick out. You know, that's a surprise. So nah, it's actually okay.
Yeah, well, what about keeping seven receivers?
Ooh, boy, what you said. I think it'll be a good idea because, look, when we made it, you know, got me all excited. If you look at 1999, we had a slew of receivers. We had me, Derek Mason, Isaac Bird, you know, Yancey Thigpen, Derek Mason, Joey Kent, and some other cats. We had a lot of guys that can play some football. We had a lot of guys that can make some plays. We had a lot of guys that were, you know, had the potential to play in this league. So they kept seven of us on the roster. But here's the crazy part about the whole thing is each one of us dressed.
Mm.
That tells you that we had a lot of guys that can make plays and all of us dressed every single game.
See, I don't know if all of these guys dressed.
Honestly. I don't think they'll dress, but I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, to me, a big part of that is Kyle Phillips. I think that he's going to be unavailable for the longer part of that 4 to 6 weeks.
I think so too. I mean, you know, especially when you're a slot receiver, you got to change directions. You can't change directions and plan and burst off the cut and do all that quick moving when you're not confident enough to know if that leg is okay. And that's going to take time. It's not just everybody thinks it's just a physical part. Okay, I go out there and run a route. I go out there and run a hitch. Go out there and run a slant. Go out there and run a post. All that stuff is great. But you got to have the mindset that I just came off the injury. I got to have the mindset, okay, you know what? Even though my knee doesn't feel right, do I have the confidence to do what I did before I got hurt? That's where the battle's at.
Yeah, and that's something I talked to Dylan Radins about because he was brought back off the PUP list, and he's in the mix now not fully, because they're still going to, you know, focus more on individual stuff and bring him along. But that was the thing with him, is just, okay, where are you mentally? How long do you think it's going to take? And he had no idea. He was like, man, ask me in a couple weeks. But I think it really, that's something that after a practice, I would like to ask him about, because obviously practice isn't the game, but you're out there and you're going through movements and doing the things you got to do to test the knee out and feel it. It's different from going against, you know, Brian Bell or Frank Pirano, the training staff in rehab assignments.
Yeah, I mean, look at Conklin. When he came off his injury, he struggled the first five or six games. Oh, he struggled big time, because it's not that he wasn't physically ready. It's not that his knee wasn't stable or strong enough. It's just mentally getting past that I had a knee injury. Look at, you know, Bud Dupree, when he came to the Tennessee Titans off a knee injury. It took him about 6 or 7 games to get comfortable of feeling like, okay, my knee's good and I can go out there and make plays. So it's a process, man, that a lot of people really don't understand.
Yeah, without a doubt. So those are some of the things that really are standing out to me. I think Treylon Burks, with him coming back on Monday, what you think of that?
Man, I think that guy wants to win. That guy wants to play. I know he's, you know, I watched a little bit of video. I know he's a little gingerly. It's going to take a little time. He's still got time to get ready. And I think that, you know, I think Mike Vrabel, Rand Carthon, and that staff needs to make sure that he's 100% ready when he gets, you know, when that time comes to play against the Saints. Because the thing about it is, you don't want to go out there and rush this kid. He goes out there, his adrenaline's flowing, and then he gets hurt again. Now he's set back for 6 and 7 weeks. But it is beautiful to see him out there. It is beautiful to see him out there catching passes, because he wants to win. It's not that he wants to sit around and just, you know, eat, you know, Little Debbie's and y'all just work on my knee. And nah, he said, you know, I'm going to figure out any means necessary to get on that field, and that's why that dude's a winner.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. I think it's going to be a good situation for Absolutely. Him. And no brace, right? And he went up and he snapped that ball with one-hander and landed on the knee, you know, and it wasn't an issue. So I think that's a positive sign there.
That's what's up, man. But before we go, man, I got to I was watching The Temptations. You ever watched that movie, The Temptations?
Mm-hmm.
And we was watching it, and it was this guy that was in front, and they was singing a song, I Got Nothing But Love For You. I was like, okay, that's the jam. And my dad was like, dad, the guy that's singing that song is Otis Redding. You know, that looks like, is that TD? I'm like, nah, man, that's Otis Redding.
Well, it's even worse for me, because I was watching Life, and they had that scene where he's like, you want your cornbread? And my daughter was like, is that how your co-host talks to you? I said, no, that wasn't him. Don't worry about it.
Oh, you crazy, man. Get off my phone, man.
This is Aaron Brewer, and we talking with TD.
I just like letting that track play, man. That's Halftime by Nas. One of his first tracks, man. That's a hit right there. As you heard, Aaron Brewer brought us back in. We are going to get into the offensive line a little bit after we just went over some different things on the roster. Surprises with Chris Sanders and Run TMC. I want to just look at some of the depth positions now, though. Aaron Brewer, obviously, is the center for the Titans. Andre Dillard's at left tackle. Peter Skoronski at left guard. Left guard. You got right guard Daniel Brunskill, and right tackle is Chris Hubbard. Now, I asked Mike Vrabel about Chris Hubbard and having that position. He is the guy at right tackle. You know, he came out and said that he's the starter, but it was interesting because one of the things that he pointed to was for now, and he mentioned Jalen Duncan as a guy, Justin Murray as well, who, I mean, look, he and Chris Hubbard, like, these are late additions to the roster, like, during training camp, and here it is. They have key positions now already, Hubbard being a starter, and we know the DeMarco Jones situation, and obviously Petit Ferrer, who suspended for the first 6 games, but I thought it was interesting how he pointed to those names, and then he mentioned another person, and that was Dylan Radins. And as we know, Radins is coming back from PUP. That's something that, you know, we could talk about a little bit later. But, you know, listen, this is a group that I think offensive line has more to gain from gelling than any other position. And there's so much, you know, these are five guys. It has to be like synchronized swimming, right? Where everything is in step and they're moving in sync and everything is right, the timing and everything. But that's why it's important for this group to play together. So I wanted to talk to Chris Hubbard about, you know, getting this position, being named the position. And I don't know, if someone said that I was a starter and it was just for now, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to make sure that you're going to take that for now off. So here's Chris Hubbard on that.
It's been smooth, man. You know, just taking it one day at a time, man. Coming in and getting better. That's my main objective, is coming in and continuing to get better. Not missing a beat and just stacking these days at a time. So that's really it.
When you look at your group, your position group, like that's probably the one where like, that chemistry is the most important. How do you develop that over time? And what can you do between now and the season opener to make it better?
Stars in practice, man, and stars in the film room. You know, we gathering each other and learning each other and continue to get better on the field and trusting one another. That's what it leans towards. And I think that as long as we're staying on the same page and executing at a high level, man, that we can go as far as I don't know what. So
really, that's what it comes down to, you know, executing. And it's all about the offensive line. And you look at the depth there. I mean, they're keeping, what, I think it's 10 guys at offensive line. And we mentioned in the opener, man, Jordan Roos is a guy that kind of – he got the short end of the stick, right, when they brought Dylan Radins back. So I'm counting here, 10 offensive linemen is what they're carrying. And Xavier Newman gives them depth at center and guard. But you look at this, right? Duncan could play left and right tackle. We've seen him play both of those, but he's still, you know, a work in progress, a developmental part of it. They don't have a true swing man. And that's where Dylan Radins comes into the mix. And him being active is still a question mark as far as where he's going to be. But here's Dylan Radins just on the process of returning from that torn ACL. It's something that he came back from pretty quickly, and he was activated on Monday, and now here he is.
Yeah, it goes with one thing. Like, you got to rehab the knee physically, and then, like you said, mentally, you got to be able to just lock into those muscles again and just be able to trust that knee again, which I feel like we've been doing. And then also throughout that process, I mean, mentally, you're always chomping at the bit. Like I said, I'm here to play football, and just going through spring ball, not being able to be out there and just wanting to be out there all the time. And then even through fall camp, just wanting to be out there. I mean, it's tough mentally, but at the same time, I mean, it's just a process you got to go through, and I think it's gone pretty well.
Was it frustrating?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to play wherever they need me and wherever I can play. We'll see what happens. Like I said, just kind of trusting the process right now. And I mean, there's a lot of unknowns left, but yeah, just can't go out there and give them it all.
And you mentioned trusting the knee, like out there doing some of the things you're doing, but how long do you think it's going to take till you could trust it when you're out there on the field, like actually playing football?
I'll let you know in a few weeks, I guess. This will be my first day out at practice, so I mean, I've been going against trainers and stuff as of right now, and just being able to go against live players and stuff, that'll be a good test to see where I'm at mentally.
So that's Dylan Radins on just being back and what the future looks like for him. Here's Mike Vrabel, his take on Radins and just what they're going to do with him, some of the things that they're thinking of.
Very encouraging. Dylan worked extremely hard to get back out here, and through conversations with his surgeon, our doctors, Dylan most importantly, you know, just excited to get him back out there. And I think we're probably a little bit away from team, you know, but I think it's also important that the player gets to a point that done kind of rehabbing, that he gets back out there with his teammates and individual and figure out group things, and then we'll see where he is.
Okay. So there it is, Mike Vrabel on where Dylan Radins is and what they're looking to do. Now, remember, they worked him at guard and tackle in the past, and he wasn't able to lock down either one of the spots, but then he finally did get a shot at left tackle, and he played decent until he had that injury. So we'll see what he does for them. But another position of depth is wide receiver. And All right. You look at the group, right? They kept seven, which is a pretty high number. But obviously, Hopkins, Burks, and Phillips, those are the starters. But we know Phillips. And Kyle Phillips is an interesting one because I saw him in the locker room and got to talk to him a bit. And he said that even though – and he has a brace on the right knee. It's almost like an offensive lineman brace, you know, one of those kinds with, like, there's metal to it and everything. And he said that even though he has that, he doesn't feel limited in movement. It's you know, he keeps getting the fragile label put on him. But, I mean, these are injuries. Like, you take a helmet to the knee. Like, I don't care if you're who you are, you're going to get hurt, right? You know, the shoulder injury. I don't care who you are. You fall directly on that shoulder, you're going to get hurt. Hamstrings happen to everybody. So I don't think we should call him injury prone or fragile or anything like that, because these are injuries that, you know, happen to you regardless of size. But nevertheless, it looks like he's going to be more towards the 6 week part of that, you know, timeline, that 4 to 6 weeks that they're looking at. And as a result, they kept seven receivers, and I think that really opened the door for Kyaris Jackson, you know, along with a solid game. And to me, I felt Kyaris Jackson was a lock to make the roster when they called that timeout. Eric Garrett was out there to field the punt in the fourth quarter against the Patriots. They called the timeout. They brought Garrett off the field, and they put Kyaris Jackson out there. And that told me, like, you know what? He's going to make the roster, and that's going to be their punt returner. And I believe firmly that that's who's going to be back there, you know, when they're at the Mercedes-Benz Dome or whatever they call that thing now. I think that's who's going to be back there fielding the punt. But, I mean, you look at Burks and Hopkins, I want to focus on Burks. And just so the injury happened. It was that, you know, in the joint practices with the Vikings. And it happened, and everybody was like, oh, shoot. Because we all saw how much he did to come back, how he was when he came back. And just the human part of you is just like, dang, I hope that's not serious. Lo and behold, it wasn't. And Burks was back in practice on Monday. He played coy with us before he came out onto the field, because we got into the locker room before practice, and nobody thought that he was going to be out there. But here's Treylon Burks on just, you know, the road coming back, how the injury happened, and just like being relieved about it. Check it out.
Feel great. Just doing exactly what Todd has me doing to get back.
What have you been doing to kind of stay involved and ready to go whenever your time is going to come?
Going to meetings, lifting weights, conditioning as much as I can. And, you know, just being in tune with everything, you know, just making sure that I hear the little details that they give me or give the guys around me, and just making sure I'm just staying locked in.
I saw when the injury happened, and Mike Vrabel, he said that, you know, once you got the diagnosis, there was a good bit of relief. What were you fearing at first?
Just knowing, like, I've already been through an ACL injury before, and, you know, it's just scary when you hurt your knee. And, you know, I was just thankful, you know, praying, and, you know, God always comes through with his blessings and everything.
He prayed on it, and here he is back at practice on Monday. And it was obviously, you know, he wasn't at full speed, but he still was able to go up there and sky up and catch that one ball. I know you guys saw the video there. It went viral. He was able to catch that one-hander during the individual period, and he landed on the left leg, you know, which is a good thing. You didn't see any buckle or anything like that, so that's positive. And we'll just see how it goes. I firmly think that he's going to be back for the week one game. Now, will he be 100% himself? I don't know. They'll just have to continue to work it. But, I mean, it's been a gradual process for him, and here he is. He's out there. So you figure it'll be Burks, Hopkins when they go 11 personnel. Chris Moore probably come in. They want that shifty, quick type of look. Then Kyaris Jackson will probably be the option there. You got Westbrook and Kenny, who could play all three positions also, and Colton Dow, who had a strong end to the preseason, and that pushed him onto the roster. the group is seven deep. Now, I don't know that it's going to remain seven deep. I'm curious if Phillips will be placed on IR, which I mean he'll be out for four games. I really want to see what happens with that. But, I mean, looks like the roster's pretty much, for the most part, set. Now, there'll be a little bit of shifting, right? Corey Levin was released in order to make room for Kendall Vildor. We'll see if he goes to the practice squad. Speaking of which, they have the full list there. Chance Campbell was added to the practice squad as well. TK McClendon also. So, you know, they have 16 guys on there now. Now, one of them is a roster exemption, right? The international exemption with Thomas Odokoya. Cade York has not officially been put on there as of Wednesday, but we'll see how that, you know, rolls out. They do have the spot. So that's it for this week, man. We are rolling forward, man. We're out of the preseason now completely, as the roster is there in pen, we'll say, not in stone, in pen, because we know it's shifty. We're going to get into week one, the Saints and Titans next week. So looking forward to that. Definitely make sure you guys continue to check us out. Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. Oh, yeah. We appreciate you.